Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Narayana para vedha deva narayananga jaha narayana para loka narayana para maka the Vedic literatures are made by and are meant for the Supreme Lord. The demigods are also meant for serving the Lord as parts of his body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord, and different sacrifices are performed just to please him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to the Vedanta Sutras, the Supreme Lord is the author of all revealed scriptures, and all revealed scriptures are for knowing the Supreme Lord. Veda means knowledge that leads to the Lord. The Vedas are made just to revive the forgotten consciousness of the conditioned souls. And any literature not meant for reviving God consciousness is rejected at once by the Narayana Parad devotees. Such deluded books of knowledge, not having Narayan as their aim, are not at all knowledge, but are the playgrounds for crows who are interested in the rejected refuse of the world. Any book of knowledge, science or art must lead the knowledge of Narayan. Otherwise, it must be rejected. That is the way of advancement of knowledge. The supreme worshipable deity is Narayan. The demigods are recommended secondarily for worship in relation to Narayan, because the demigods are assisting hands in the management of the universal affairs. As the officers of the kingdom are respected due to their relationship with the king, the demigods are worshipped due to their relationship with the Lord. Without the Lord's relation, worship of the demigods is unauthorized, just as it is improper to water the leaves and branches of a tree without watering its roots. Therefore, the demigods are also dependent on Narayan. The lokas, or different planets, are active because they have different varieties of life and bliss, partially representing the Satchitananda Vigraha. Everyone wants an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Is progressively realized in the upper planets. But after reaching there, one is inclined to achieve further progress along the path back to Godhead. Durations of life with a proportionate quality of bliss and knowledge may be increased from one planet to another. One can increase the duration of life to thousands and hundreds and thousands of years in different planets, but nowhere is there eternal life. But one who has reached the highest planet, that of Brahma, can aspire to reach the planets in the spiritual sky, where life is eternal. Therefore, the progressive journey from one planet to another culminates in reaching the supreme planet of the Lord, Madharma, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. All different kinds of sacrifices are performed just to satisfy Lord Narayan, with a view to reach him, and the best sacrifice recommended in the age of Kali is Sankirtan Yajna, the mainstay of devotional service of a Narayana pure devotee. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Vina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Nidati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kalpatu Yusja Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitananam Vaganevyo Vaishnavevyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is that music?
24-hour vision.
Can you just turn it down a bit? Here are two songs from a reggae group, devotee reggae group. They recorded this album back in the early 80s. You'd like to hear them?
Yes, please.
The first one is in regards to non-devotees, and the second one is applicable for devotees. So which one do you want first, the non-devotees or the devotees?
Non-devotees.
Okay. Then you can see the contrast between the two. This is called the Vile Society. They're trying to hang their hat where their hand can't reach. And those who don't know nothing, they're trying to teach. Their hearts are hard like stone, yet they pretend to weep. And those who don't sow nothing, they're trying to reap. They kill their children before they're born, and they kill the elephant just to get the horn. They don't care anymore what they eat. They will kill their mother just to get some meat. They're intoxicating themselves to death, and smoke and fire has become their breath. The brain is now like a gaping hole, and they don't know nothing about the spirit soul. Now the air is nothing but factory smoke, yet everybody is going broke. The school is just like a slaughterhouse where they love to read about Mickey Mouse. And the women all want to be the men, and the men can only remember when. And the children leave when they learn to walk, and with obscene language they learn to talk. History repeats itself, they say, and there is an end to the longest day. So don't feel bad when the axe comes down, because you wouldn't know if to smile or frown. No matter what you may say or do, you can only get what's coming to you. And the only way you can change your fate is by going back to a spiritual state. So when you see that thing start smoking, and you know the fire ain't far behind, there won't be time for turning back when the big wheel starts to grind. For when the human being starts sinking and the standard gets too low, such a violent society ain't got long to go. Did you like that? Pretty powerful. And it's true. It's all true. But they walk around thinking everything's absolutely fine. Killers of the soul. Well, here's one for the devotees. You can join in the chorus if you like. You like to do that? This is the chorus. Please repeat. Come and join the congregation.
Come and join the congregation.
Of the chanting of the holy name.
Of the chanting of the holy name.
You don't need to change your situation.
You don't need to change your situation.
But you'll never be the same.
But you'll never be the same.
So we'll chant the chorus after each verse. This is verse number one. This is the age, it's the iron age. Everybody's living on an iron wage. Gone are the days of silver and gold. If you live till 20, you'll be very old. So come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation. But you'll never be the same. Now listen to what the good book said. Just try and make it out while you're still ahead. You don't have too much time to waste if you really want to get that higher taste. So come and join the congregation. You don't need to change your situation.
You will never be the same.
Good. Everybody here can play a part, and you'll feel that power within your heart. You don't have to bother what people think, because they really don't care if you swim or sink. So come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation, but you'll never be the same. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose, so I really don't see how you can refuse. There's nothing to pay, it doesn't cost you a cent, and you wouldn't even see which way your trouble went. So come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't need to change your situation.
That you will never be the same.
That name's going to enter every single home because it's even sweeter than honeycomb. It's got more power than an atom bomb because Goloka is the place where it's coming from. So,
come and join the congregation. It is the chanting of the holy name. You don't have to change your situation, but you'll never be the same.
Very good. You like that one?
No.
So in the verse today, we're talking about how everything needs to be offered to Lord Narayan Krishna. If we want to please him, then everything needs to be offered to him. Everything needs to be in connection with him. Anything outside of that is of no value and a waste of time. You can have many zeros. Zeros can go miles down the road. 0000000000000. More zeros, and even more 00000. But unless you put one in front of those zeros, they have no value. Krishna is the Supreme One. He should be placed in front of everything we say and do in this world. And if he's not, then it's simply of no value, a waste of time. Prabhupada talked about his books, how his books are the saving grace for the imbalance of the world today. And he said if the leaders knew, if they had known the contents of his books, they would never have allowed them to be distributed. But now it's too late. The books are already out there. And people are benefiting from the books. The books are revolutionary in a world which is constantly trying to maneuver us into a small little box. Materialistic society means get in that box and don't come out. They let you out of the box, maybe you, now it's Easter, right? Easter time when people can relax a bit. So okay, you can come out of your box. But remember, and after a couple of days you have to get back into your box. This is the sorry state of material life. They tell you what to eat, they tell you what to drink. They tell you what to wear, and they tell you when you can go on holiday. It's designed to cover people's consciousness and put them into illusion. We're trying to take people out of illusion and give them real knowledge. Sometimes people ask me, so what about Srila Prabhupada? What was the thing that you saw in Srila Prabhupada that was so special? Of course, everything about Prabhupada, whatever he did and whatever he said was special. But if I think about it personally, my own life, the greatest gift and contribution that Prabhupada gave to me and the world was that he told the truth. Whereas everyone else has been telling lies. I mentioned on Sunday, I think it was, about the carton of juice from the carton of juice to the landing on the moon, it's all lies. The carton of juice says 100% pure, but if you go into the fine print, you'll find out that it's only 2% pure. It is not pure juice. You cannot put pure juice in a carton and put it on the shelves for months after months after months. That is a lie. You may put 100% pure juice, but it's a lie. And everyone knows it, but they drink it anyway. And as far as the landing on the moon, when they so-called landed on the moon, Prabhupada was watching it on the television with some disciples. And he said, they have not landed on the moon. One disciple said, but Prabhupada, this is on the television. It's being broadcasted all over the world. Millions of people are watching this. But he said it again, they have not landed on the moon. He was the only one who said it. But now if you Google moon landing, there's plenty of hoax theories about that landing. Did they actually land on the moon? Most people nowadays don't believe it at all. Because if they did, why didn't they go back? Why go once? If you go once, why dare to go once and dare not to go second time? Because it's a cover-up. And the whole materialistic society is like that. They just tell lies. Just want to cover people over into illusion. The grand illusion, this is what people want. And they don't even mind, even if it's a really big lie. Well, so what? It's a lie. Life goes on. But how does it go on? You're living a life like a crow. Prabhupada mentions here, crow-like persons. The difference between the devotees and the non-devotees is the devotees are like swans and the non-devotees are like crows. They like to go and read crow literature. They like to eat crow-like food. The crow, you know what a crow is, right? Huh?
It's a little bird.
It's a black bird.
Yeah.
He's going, craw, 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 craw. If you go anywhere near a nest, usually they're high in the trees. Even so, the crows see someone walking near the nest. Craw, craw, what are you doing here? This is my home. Go away. Craw, craw, craw. This is crow-like person. Crows, they pick around in the garbage. You see them. Wherever there's a garbage bin, they will pick around in the garbage and make a mess. You've seen. Maybe you don't have too many crows here, but in England it's full of crows. There was also, in the early days in Calcutta, we have one temple there, still there, in Albert Road. And at that time, outside the temple, there was a tree. And it was full of crows. And we used to get up for Mangalarti, and they used to get up for their Mangalarti. So it was a competition between the crows and the devotees. Crack, go away, you Hare Krishnas! Crack, crack! So, you know, as the English saying goes, birds of the same feather flock together, not different feathers. Same feather. You don't see swans and crows together. So someone had to leave. I was back there some 4 or 5 years ago, and I noticed that the crows had gone. The devotees reigned victorious over the crows. But this is how our life is. We cannot associate with these people because they're crow-like people. They have no good qualities. All what they say and do is just a waste of time. Sometimes you see in London, we have our temple in Seoul Street. Sometimes I'm there visiting. They have an ashram some distance away from the temple. So when you leave at 8 o'clock in the evening to take rest, you pass all these restaurants and pubs, and people are croaking like frogs, like crows. Well, like frogs too. Prabhupada also gives the example of frogs. They're always croaking, and they think their croaking is so wonderful. So they'll croak all night. So in London you see people there 8 o'clock at night croaking like frogs. Talking more and more. And to talk all night they also have to drink. Drinking, talking. And then you see next morning when you go back to the temple, same people sitting there, still talking. And you think, wow, what do they have to talk about? It's so important. Well, the truth is, they have nothing to talk about. They don't even know what they're talking. They're just talking, that's all. Sake of talking. Better than talking is to practice Mauna Vrata. In India, you see people practicing Mauna Vrata. They keep silent. Of course, even that practice is very difficult. Sometimes they even have a blackboard, and they, if they want to communicate, they will put something on the blackboard. And Prabhupada said, you cannot practice Mauna Vrata. It's not possible. He said, yes, if you talk like a crow, then better Mauna Vrata. But better than Mauna Vrata, better than no talk at all, is to chant Hare Krishna. Krishna Katha. Then you're using the tongue for its real purpose. Engage it in Krishna's service. Then the tongue will be sufficiently controlled and satisfied just by hearing Krishna Katha. So this is the difference between the swan and the crow. The swan has all good qualities. If you watch a swan, it's swimming peacefully in a lake, and it's constantly cleaning itself. It's sparkling white, clean. You cannot get a cleaner bird than the swan. It takes bath at least 3 times a day. And it also has the ability, if you give the swan some milk, it has the ability to extract the cream from the water. So it's taking the essence of the milk, the cream. So these are all the same kind of qualities as devotees have. They're taking the essence of life. They're peaceful. They don't hang around in noisy, mundane places. Our life is a life of peace, prosperity, tranquility. So why is it that the devotees are like swans? Why? And the simple answer is that because they're connected with Krishna. By serving Krishna, we adopt the same qualities as Krishna. Maybe not 100%, but qualitatively we become little Krishnas. And we become our natural self. The soul is full of knowledge, bliss, and eternal. So this is the reason why it's mentioned here by Prabhupada, that everything should be connected to Narayan, because that's the only way to live and be happy. There was one king. He had a dream. He dreamt he was a butterfly. I gave this example on Sunday. So he inquired when he woke up to his ministers, "I just had a dream and it was so real. So my question is, am I a king dreamt I was a butterfly, or am I a butterfly now dreaming I'm a king?" And of course the answer to that is that he's neither a king or a butterfly, but he's a spirit soul. And this is the illusion of the material world, is that the people think that they are their bodies. They have no knowledge of the soul. There's so many institutions out there, but there's not one institution which is giving knowledge of the soul. And that's what makes their life zero. As soon as you add the soul to your life, as soon as you understand that you're eternal, then you have to accept that there is also reincarnation, because you cannot just born and die. If you're eternal, that means you live forever. So you've got to live somewhere. So you reincarnate. We say born again. Christians, they say born again. We say born again and again and again and again and again and again until we get it right. Until we understand who we actually are in relationship to Krishna. So this is our life. It's different. But it's the best way of life. We don't like to say we're the best, but we are the best. You know, people, you read some of these magazines glorifying famous people. This famous person, that famous person, and they go and repeat them all over and over and over again. Some people, they're in the magazine every week. What are they doing this week? What is it, what the special thing that they're doing this week? Prabhupada called it the glorification of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And they're being worshipped by dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But from where Krishna is standing, the real famous people of this world are the devotees. You're one of the most famous people in Norway. Here. Did you know that? You are. From where Krishna is standing, it's his devotees that are famous. Even the demigods are looking down on the devotees. We don't need OK magazine. Is that the name of your magazine here? OK?
Say or
huh?
Look and listen. My magazine is called.
No, no.
At least.
Famous people, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. In England, it's okay. They say okay. They have one magazine. But we don't need a magazine to glorify us. Even the demigods are looking down on the devotees. They're actually quite envious of the devotees. And they're constantly discussing, you know, how to be born in a devotee family. Prabhupada said that the demigods are lining up to take birth in the Hare Krishna movement. That's why our children are so special, because they're not ordinary children. So the demigods, they have to negotiate how to come here, because they cannot just give up their service. It's been given to them by Krishna. But if they can find someone else to do their service, then they're allowed to come. And you'll see in the Hare Krishna movement, many children are very, 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 very intelligent, very, from a very early age, they're doing things that normally children wouldn't be able to do. Even I'm surprised. I work with them a lot. And that's why I work with them. Because I get purification by working with the children. They're not ordinary. Prabhupada said they're Vaikuntha children, sent by Krishna. They're our future hope to change this rotten world into a Vaikuntha place. So we should give them all facilities for being Krishna conscious. So have no doubt, we're on the right path. Everything we're doing is connected to Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna. And this is freeing us from the entanglement of this world.
Children, because sometimes they seem to be pretty much in Maya, like absorbed in the illusory energy, and at the same time they might be special souls, but it seems like they're far away.
Your children are like psychic sponges. They will absorb anything within their immediate environment. Therefore, we have to make the environment right for them. It is not that all the children are in Maya. I know children within, in some countries that are very Krishna conscious, very Krishna conscious. And it's only because they're being given the right environment and facilities to serve Krishna. Therefore, parents especially, their main duty is to invite Krishna to the home. Everything should be centered around Krishna within the home. not that the center is the television, the black box, is what you call it. In England, we call it the black box. The enemy within the home, who invited himself and no one questioned him. Has to be, Krishna has to be the center. So you saw last night the slideshow that I was showing. Home altars. Did you like that slideshow?
Yes.
You know, this is where Krishna is the center of the homes of devotees. This is the reason for showing that, to make that slideshow, is to give, you know, devotees direction. Those devotees who don't have an altar, they'll be more inclined to make their own altar. Those who have an altar and they see the other altars on the slideshow, they may get some ideas to improve their altar, to improve the standard of their worship. But it's important, in my own Grihastha days, I was lucky because I had 10 years as a brahmachari before I was a Grihastha. So that was a good foundation for the Grihastha ashram. And I knew then when I was a Grihastha what would be the standard in a home. And the standard is you must invite Krishna. And you must, you know, do the similar things that are going on in the temple. You must chant your rounds, you must worship the deity, you must offer all your food, and you must, the center focus should be to be Krishna conscious. Everything else is secondary. But one thing that I do when I'm traveling, and I haven't really done it recently because I've been sick, so I put in most of my attention on the classes that I give. But usually what I do when there's children around, I ask them to come, and I have a folder with pictures, and I ask them to choose a picture and go back and color it in, and we will show it to the devotees afterwards. And the experience that I've had is that actually children, they're waiting for us to engage them. We think that, oh, they're just children. What do they understand? They understand actually more than many of us. And when they go away and they got some service, and then you call them and say, look, bring your paintings, and then you show the devotees, and the devotees clap. I watch their faces, and their faces light up. Oh, I'm being recognized and accepted. And what I see in our society is that children are often just left to fend for themselves. But children must be supervised all the time. They must be guided. They must be given facilities to expand their own Krishna consciousness. Not that we just leave them to one side and well, they can just play. No, they're also devotees. And they're also waiting for us to engage them.
Hare Krishna. can approach the kid or the person who is like 14 years old and who is living in an environment which is quite unhealthy and very old patriarchic like family, where the child never gets in touch with any spirituality or...
You have a child like that?
No, I have a brother, actually.
Brother?
But he's living far away.
Where?
With the parents. In Croatia.
Croatia. Is that where you're from?
Yes.
Yeah, well... This is a kind of a little different scenario because you know, when he reaches such an age, he has to make his own choices. And is if he hasn't had a choice to make, because this is what the material world is about, there's no choice. As Prabhupada said, that we're the only institution. So unless people come in contact with Krishna consciousness at an early age, the tendency would be that the materialistic society would have trained someone that age already, trained them up to be materialistic. Just because you're a devotee, it doesn't mean to say that he will become a devotee. You've made your choice, and he's made his. Just because he's your brother, is no real difference than anyone else. Everyone that comes through the door here for the first time, they have to make their choice. They may like it, they may not like it, but you can't force anyone to be a devotee.
But what should we approach? Should we do it like subtle, like to give prasadam, or should we speak about Krishna or no?
Usually family members don't want to listen to other family members preaching to them.
Okay.
It's one of the biggest mistakes devotees make. You know, when they become enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, they go and run to their parents and other members, start dictating to them. And it's the most, it hits the false ego, especially the parents, like anything. Hey, what is this? You know, I brought you up in a certain way, now you're telling me that I was wrong? You're telling me that I was wrong? The best example is just to follow yourself. They may then see the changes that will take place, that have taken place in you. And we've seen that, you know, that parents can become devotees by seeing, you know, the change that's taken place in their sons and daughters. But it has to be done. It has to be injected into them very gradually. So, yeah, the best weapon is prasadam. Give them a book, give them prasadam. And then leave it to them to decide. You understand?
Yeah, thank you.
You know, people have to be ready to be devotees. If they're still full of material desires, their cup is already filled with material desires, you know, how are they going to become devotees? So Krishna has to fulfill some of their material desires and kick them a little bit, sometimes we wonder why the non-devotees have more than the devotees. A lot of times the non-devotees enjoy more than the devotees. And the answer to that is that this is Krishna's way of teaching the non-devotees. He gives them facilities so that they ultimately suffer from material enjoyment. And it's just a matter of time that they will suffer and suffer and suffer and then realize one day that, you know, why am I suffering? And the devotees themselves, we don't really mind actually what happens to us. Krishna can give facilities or he can not give, but it doesn't really matter. We will still chant Hare Krishna, because the chanting of Hare Krishna is the real bliss, is the real treasure, the real joy. But one day Krishna will give us everything, even the king's palace. That's destined to be a temple one day.
It would be great.
Here in Australia?
Yeah. We want all of these buildings for Krishna. Otherwise there's no value to any of them. Okay. Anything else?
You mentioned something about the demigods in the beginning. Could you briefly just go over that again?
Well, the demigods, you know, they see how the devotees are going back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada gave us reassurance that if we followed the four regulated principles and chanted 16 rounds, we can go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime, if we're sincere. So the demigods have, you know, they've discussed this amongst themselves. Well, here we are, we have this responsibility up here. We're, you know, assisting the Lord in maintaining the universal affairs, but we're not getting any Krishna consciousness. We've got all this material enjoyment around us. You know, I mean, we think that we enjoy sometimes. Their enjoyment is so far superior than we can even imagine. And that gets in the way of devotional service. So that's why they want to come here. They see the devotees, and they have very little facilities, but they're happy and just chanting Hare Krishna and going back home, back to Godhead. They know this is the age of Kali, but they also know that Kali is being overshadowed by Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And there's no better time to take birth on the Earth planet right now. No better time. That's why they want to come here.
What about in the beginning, even further back, you said something about the worship of demigods and the worship of Krishna?
Yeah.
And the difference there?
Yeah, the worship of demigods. This is very much the difficulty amongst Indian people. They see that the demigod worship is the real goal of life. because their main aim is material enjoyment or material assets. And the demigods, they give very easily. They very easily give material assets to the worshippers. Prabhupada gives the example that someone's in a jail and he's knocking on the bars of the jail and the warden comes, the jailkeeper comes. Yes, what do you want? Well, I want a better bed. I want some curtains on my window. Whatever. He's not so much interested to get out of the jail, but he wants to make his jail more comfortable. This is demigod worship. I want some facilities here in this jailhouse of the material world. Please, Lord Shiva, give me a better facilities. Not that, my dear Lord Shiva, you're the best of Krishna's devotees, please bless me that I can also be a Vaishnava. That would be, if you include the demigod worship with Krishna in the center, there's nothing wrong with that. Please, Lakshmi Devi, I need to build a temple for Krishna, so please give me some Lakshmi so I can build a nice temple for Krishna. But people are not interested in Krishna, they're interested in themselves. And sometimes the Hindus get very frustrated when they see us just worshipping Krishna. And they get very upset. Why Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? And then we have to explain to them, well, if all the gods are the same, why are you excluding Krishna? And the reason why you're excluding Krishna is because Krishna, he only gives you what you need. He doesn't give you what you want. You may want something, but if Krishna knows that it's not going to be conducive for your devotional service, he won't give it to you. When you become more Krishna conscious, he may give it to you then, because then you know how to use it. So it's, you know, in the West, the biggest problem is that we're Mayavadis, and in the East, the biggest problem is deity. Demigod worship. This is what I've noticed. Isn't it so? They want to put all the gods.
Even my family members, they fight me that Shiva is bigger than Krishna. Not fight, but yeah, discussion. They are never agree, like. You know.
There's a hierarchy in percentages in regards to the qualities. Krishna has all qualities 100%. All. 100% beauty, 100% fame, fortune, renunciation, 100%. Lord Shiva and the Vishnu Tattvas, they have 97%. They're nearly like Krishna, but not quite. Krishna has some qualities which they don't have. And then comes Lord Shiva. He has 87, I think it is, 87%. No, 80, and it's 84 or 89, not quite sure. So he has less than the Vishnu Tattvas. I mean, it's still very powerful to have 80% or 84% of the qualities. Then that is certainly very powerful. We don't deny that Lord Shiva is not powerful, but he doesn't have the same qualities as Lord Krishna. Full.
Actually, I feel in India there are a lot of spiritual movements, many gurus are there, and they are maybe misguiding also people. You can't trust them, there are so many. And people are just running behind, I don't know where. So
yeah.
It's very confusing in India right now.
That's why we the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, they're the cream of the Vedic literature. Vedic literature is vast. And if you want to have Shiva as your God, then there will be a book there to convince you that he's God, that he's supreme. But if you want to go to the essence of all Vedic literature, if you want to transcend the modes of material nature, because the Vedas only deal with the three modes of material nature, but the cream of the Vedas, they go beyond the three modes. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very clear. Even Lord Shiva himself makes it very clear his position in regards to Krishna. He is the best devotee. And he doesn't get upset if one of his devotees becomes a devotee of Krishna. He welcomes it. His devotees are, usually walking around naked. It's not that Lord Shiva wants that, but someone has to look after these kind of people. So it's his job to take care of people in the mode of ignorance. But his consciousness is as Sankarshan, the Lord of all lords. He is my Lord.
But there are many religions in India, like Sikhism, because there are a lot of incarnations in India. In Sikhism also, that Guru Granth Sahib, everything is written about Krishna, Govind, about. They had made their own sect, So there is so much confusion and fight between all these sects,
That's right. Yeah.
And in Bengal, most of the people worshipping Kali and this Durga goddess, so they are not ready to accept So they feel the goddess is the main.
Yeah, don't worry, Goddess Durga is not happy with their worship either. All this animal sacrifices they're putting before her. It's not like she's happy with that. And they will have to get her trident. That will be her mercy. Her trident right in their back of their neck. Yeah. Prabhupada's cut through the whole Hindu. Hindus sometimes get upset with us because of what, Prabhupada is, how he's cut through all these, sectarian, impersonal demigod worship. and exclusively brings Krishna to the forefront. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. He's a source of all incarnations.
I have one question. There is one Mataji who is a very nice devotee, and her dharma is as a yoga teacher. And she is Ashtanga yoga teacher, but at the same time, he's a first-class devotee. She's a very nice devotee. So I'm wondering if somebody's dharma is to be, for example, yoga teacher, or somebody's dharma is to be businessman, is it offense if this yoga teacher have, for example, Rudraksha beat in the same time with Tulasi, because Shiva is also like a biggest yogi? So in that way, is it offense if you also give like respect in one way to Shiva, to, you know, to make your practice, because it is your job, better, but also through that job you are giving the bhakti?
Well, you know, if you go to Vrindavan, the first place you go to, temple you go to, is a Shiva temple, because Shiva is the protector of the dham. We don't worship Shiva exclusively, but when it's in connection with Krishna, Krishna's holy dham, then we give respects. There's nothing wrong with respecting Lord Shiva. We don't disrespect the demigods. And we welcome Lord Shiva's protection in the holy dham. And we ask him, we can ask him for the same protection while we go on parikrama. So when the demigods are included alongside with Krishna, but that Krishna is you know, that you place the demigod subordinate to Krishna, then there's nothing wrong with that. It's a means by which you'll come one day to the point of understanding that, you know, that in one sense, when you worship Krishna, then you're also including all the demigods. It's like when you do bhakti, then all of the yogas are included.
But as you said, bhakti yoga, Krishna usually takes from us. And to be successful in this, because yoga is also business those days, but we can also use it as a tool to give gradually bhakti one day when we are ready to do so. So what should we do? Because this also in my natal chart, in my natal chart in astrology, I also get this combination of like Tulasi and Rudraksha beads. They told me it will help me because I'm also on this path of yoga, like teaching yoga. So I'm wondering, because in my situation I see how, of course, bhakti yoga is first, but I see how Krishna is just taking away from me. And to be successful in this, you know, we need also material opulence, because that is what attracts these material people to come.
What is he taking away from you?
Like material, you know, like he takes a job, then, you know, just taking the... You also need, you know, you need money, you need this, you need that, you know, you need to promote, everything is through internet, and you need money for it. So we struggle with the job, we struggle with many things. So I wonder why it is like that. Because I think also it's better to be maybe, when you have bhakti already, it's better to be job like yoga teacher than to work in some store, you know, where is maybe, I don't know, to work for karmi.
I mean, I don't really know what you're talking about, because there's plenty of devotees that work in different ways and earning their livelihood. I think that you know, it may be early days for you yet in regards to being successful in whatever you're doing. But don't see Krishna as an obstacle in whatever you're doing. He will be the asset. You must have faith in him, that's all. It's not that he's always taking away everything. He can also give. In fact, he's already given you so much if you actually... If you look carefully, he's already given so much.
Yeah, I was just wondering about this. I got my natal chart and they said next 2 years will be quite heavy for me because of Saturn. I know if you're, you know, if you chant your rounds and follow regulative principles, you don't need to worry. But is it going to be easier if you, you know, they said if I put this Rudraksha beads, that in that way I'll please the demigods and it will be easier. Is that true or not?
Well, you know, I mean, you can do it if you want, but we don't have to please the demigods individually if we're actually engaged in devotional practices at the feet of Krishna. It's like astrology. You know, astrology, of course, you know, if you want to get married, some compatibility is very helpful. But it doesn't always work, even if you get compatibility charts. It's not that it always works. And in 9 times out of 10, in regards to devotees, you know, finding out about their future, it's irrelevant in one sense because devotional service transcends the laws of karma. You're talking about your karma life, the Saturn and this and that. This is about your karma, that if you didn't become a devotee, then this is what will happen to you. But when we become devotees, whatever we're destined to suffer, it's minimized greatly. What we should have suffered is minimized because of devotional service. I'm not saying there will be no suffering. And suffering is not necessarily bad because it also helps us to take further shelter of Krishna. But you've got to see everything in context and context. That Prabhupada told us that it was not necessary for us to go and see astrologers because our chart will change. As soon as you take up bhakti, devotional service, your original chart, karmic chart, will change. You know, I don't know where I'm supposed to be now if I wasn't a devotee. I wonder even if I'm still alive. But one thing I'm sure is that I have not once gone to an astrologer to find out how my future is going to unfold. I've never had the reason to. I'm fully dependent on Krishna. And I feel safe in the hands of Krishna. So what you're experiencing at the moment is mixed devotional service. This is mixed devotional service. A little bit for me and a little bit for Krishna. A little bit for Krishna and a little bit for the demigods, whatever you're saying. But it is really not necessary. Take exclusive faith and service to Krishna, Everything will be fine. I guarantee it.
It is not so easy to develop this faith when we don't have proper association.
I'm giving you association.
Thank you.
Just remember it, what I say. I speak the truth.
Even Prabhupada, sorry.
I just want to add that would it be proper to say that the work as a yoga teacher is like more conducive to spreading, you know, preaching than work as a lawyer? Or is it like just a work?
You can do anything for Krishna, providing that you keep your Krishna conscious practices in the forefront of whatever you do. You know, one thing I've noticed nowadays in our society is that there's a lot of compromising going on. Compromising in the dress, wearing tilak, compromising in chanting our rounds, compromising even to the point of offering food. People don't even know how to offer food properly. I had to instruct just last week some devotees in regards to offering. I asked, what is your prayer? And when they told me, I said, well, this is not the offering prayers. So I gave them the offering prayers. You know, and I said, where did you get this information? Well, I got it on the internet. You know, so it's like you need to do the way which Prabhupada taught us and not go sidetracking off into some. So whatever your job is, whether it's a lawyer or a yoga teacher, just keep in forefront. Your main goal is to be Krishna conscious. And, you know, yoga, being a yoga instructor, yeah, it's been successful in different places. But it doesn't always make people devotees.
You mean the students or the yoga teacher?
It doesn't make necessarily the students devotees.
Yeah, but again, maybe from group of 20 people, maybe. I mean, it's again of you. If you have a knowledge to give proper knowledge, I know with this lady, like, she and her husband, they made many devotees like that through this yoga retreat.
Yeah, well, if it works, there's nothing wrong with it.
I'm just wondering, because I know I'm on the beginning and it's so many struggles, so I'm wondering, should I just change the direction or... Yeah, but I have to be patient.
Prabhupada said that you should not over-endeavor for anything. As soon as you over-endeavor for something, then you'll see your devotional practices decline.
What means over-endeavor? Like to over-want it? Like,
yeah, you try this or you try that, but if it's not working, don't you know, beat yourself up.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. How old are you?
Me? I'm quite young, actually. I'm 21.
Yeah. So, this is another thing that you've got to consider, that you're just entering into adulthood. And it takes many years to actually feel your way in to being not only regarding occupation, but also to be a devotee within your occupation. So, you know, number one, you're trying to be a devotee. And number two, you're trying to find your occupation. Just double trouble. Expect it. You know, like I said to my son once, not so long ago, I said, he's also 22 years old. I said, you know, you're so lucky, Govinda, because all you have to do is find an occupation that you're happy with. You don't have to worry about being a devotee because you're already a devotee. You're already trained as a devotee. So he spent his first 20 years and onwards, he spent his first 20 years how to be a devotee. I said, when I was your age, when I joined the temple when I was 21. And I had to spend 10 years forgetting what I had learned in those 20 years. It took me 10 years to forget everything I learned in those 20 years. The mess that I went through. So I was only, you know, I only started being a real devotee when I was 30 years old. So I said, you don't need to do that. All you need to do is find an occupation and be happy. And he is happy. He doesn't want anything to do with material life. Sometimes he has an occupation of taking photographs, so sometimes people employ him. His main service is in Italy, in Villa Vrindavan. He's the head cowherd boy. But sometimes he goes and he goes to weddings and takes photographs.
Is he tall and strong?
Yeah.
I know him, okay.
And he, he was telling me, he said, I don't believe how these people can live. Here's a bride at her wedding, and he's trying to take photographs of her, because that's his job, that's what he gets paid for. And the bride is not even happy. He's trying to get her to smile. And then he tells me that, because his boss, the one who sometimes hires him to take these photographs, his boss knows that he's a devotee. So he advises Govinda, okay, you can leave early because you know what will happen, you know, when the lights go down and they do their little party thing. So you don't want to be involved in that. You just take the photographs during the day and I got someone else to do the night ones.
Very nice.
Because Govinda, he was in one of the night ones and he says, I'll never go again. So here is a person, he's never been polluted by material life, but he can see how polluted it is, and he has no attraction for it at all. He just understands by the knowledge that he has and what he sees in the materialistic society that these people are crazy, and they're not happy. And frankly speaking, he said to me, he said that between the Italians and their parties and the Hindus and their parties, he said the Hindus are the worst. And The Hindus have their parties, their wedding parties.
It's just showing off, actually. Everything is showing off.
He said they're. He said they're the worst.
Yeah.
And this is a problem, you know, because the Hindus want to forget everything about their culture and their lifestyle, Vedic lifestyle.
Mm.
And the more they forget, the more they fall into Maya, the more they are happy. The happier they are. But they will suffer the most. This is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are in knowledge. Knowledge of the law is no excuse. No, ignorance of the law is no excuse, but knowledge of the law is greater punishment. That is the same. So they have to be careful what they're doing. Anyway, you have to be patient. You're only 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We will help you as much as we can to get on the royal road. But you need to be patient. But you will be successful. No doubt about that.
When you hold the feet of Krishna tightly, you
should not be worried about anything.
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada
Ki.
Jai.
Going back home, back to Godhead Ki.
Jai.
Jai Guru Prabhu.
Jai Shankar Maharaj Ki.
Jai.
Vishnu Bhadai Krishna.